Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Dave Hodges. Welcome to hour number two and our special guest, Steve Quayle. And we're going to get back to Steve and we're going to take up right where Steve left off with Paul and what he was saying in Romans, because we're going to really bridge from that. But again, I want to remind everybody that this hour is brought to you by two great sponsors. One of them, Steve Quayle, and Renaissance Precious Metals, and the man who can convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals that'll hold its value like it has for 6,000 years. How do you get a hold of Steve? How do you do what I did? Well, you want to be a happy customer like me, give Steve a call, 406-586-4840. That's 406-586-4840. And then again, I'm going to talk about my friend Robert Griswold, frequent guest on the show. You know how knowledgeable he is, and he'll consult with you for free, and it's something no one else that I know of is doing. And he doesn't try to sell you stuff you don't need. He'll determine where you're at in your prepping, and he'll say, this is where I think you're at and what you need to look at doing. He'll finance the high-end stuff, everything from water filtration to communication to night vision. Bob has it all. I call him King Prepper for a reason. Go to readymaderesources.com, and both of these gentlemen and their businesses get our highest endorsement here from the Common Sense Show. Well, let's go back to Steve Quayle. And Steve, glad you could stay with us to the break. It's certainly a pleasure to have you on for 2 hours. And I want to go back to what you were saying with regard to Paul, who I love, and Romans.
Well, it's important, Dave, because we talk about some pretty dire stuff, and I have to remind myself, and I quote this to myself, this passage of Scripture, Romans 8, starting at verse 31, going through 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the biggest point right now. God is for us if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He, God, that spared not his own son Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, meaning with Jesus and what he's done, freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is it he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So every time, Dave, the devil throws something that, you know, quails are rotten, blah, 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 or whatever, you know, God, Jesus is saying, he's mine, Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him. That's God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ that loved us. Now, here's the famous two verses that are amazing that Paul stated. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's powerful, Dave. It's saying no matter what comes our way, and it's coming our way, no matter what comes at us, Jesus is greater than that, and nothing can take us out of his hand. And that was a promise the Lord himself made, that no one can pluck us out of his hand. The key is not to take ourselves out of the protective hand, the love and obedience. You know, bottom line, someone says, how do you really get a breakthrough with God? Basically, trust and obey and praise him. Because, again, this is the ultimate game of thrones, the throne of the King of Glory, the living God, and the broken, the torn throne of he who used to be in charge of the worship of God, Lucifer, who became proud and vain, and he got a third of the angels to look at him instead of looking at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He will never forsake us, or he will never leave us. And that's the only way, Dave, honestly, that I get peace. Now, let's share with the people that, you know, we are hearing reports from all over the country. Something's going on, something's going down. And Dave, you know, we're seeing, and you placed it on your website and linked to it, but we're seeing multi-mile-long trains of artillery. We're seeing absolute communications towers and the blue, if you will, the secret trucks setting up shop in different towns. And everybody's, like, going someplace. Who's giving the orders, Dave? You know, who's giving the orders? Because if the commander-in-chief is not the commander-in-chief, in other words, if President Trump is not in charge of the military, then what are all these deployments about? And who are they aiming them at?
This is a very good question. I've gone through this with my RSOF contact that I go back 12, 13 years, and he and I came together because we had a joint political battle we had to fight, and we became fast friends. And his information has been the best I've ever had. And he told me, he said, Dave, when you break it down, and he's been very consistent in saying this since Jade Helm, he said, Trump owns the Marine Corps. He said he owns a good portion of the Navy. He said Obama was never really able to penetrate the Navy, subsequently the Marine Corps. The Air Force has always been CIA, because they came in the same time as the NSA and the CIA in 1947. He said they're a lost cause. And he said the Army was largely attacked by Obama and replaced with rogue leaders, so the leadership can't be trusted, even though the rank and file is probably pretty loyal. He said the Army will be a divided force. Now, to your question, who is controlling that mile-and-a-half train in the Central Valley near Sacramento in California that had nothing but tanks on it? Very clearly, there's no doubt. I've got the video. Could it be the bad guys? I don't know. I mean, I'm talking to people who want to bring down the Constitution who are in the military. Could it be the forces loyal to Trump? I don't know that either. Steve, I don't have an answer for it.
Well, even the some of the mutual people we know, and everybody's shaking their head, but this is something that people need to understand. When the smartest guys who live in this world, like your friend you just talked about, and the special operations guys I know, and they're all basically going, here's what they say. My people tell me, and when I say they're not my people, but the people that confide in me or share with me, and Dave, to the man, I've never asked them to reveal their name or identity because that's not important, okay? And people say, why don't you say who this is? Because people have died over the years. For instance, Phil Schneider's a good example. I was going to interview him on the Underground Wars and Dulce, but getting back to Dulce, New Mexico, getting back to what we're talking about now, there is a major, major war brewing on our borders, and I'm talking borders. I'm talking Canada. The entity that controls Canada, you know, not so true, Doe, D-O-U-G-H, is basically converted to Islam. He's allowed ISIS to set up shop in Canada. And the Canadian press, certain parts of the press, carry all this stuff. And yet, again, you have Canadian listeners, I have Canadian listeners, and they're throwing their hands up in the air going, you know, they don't even, can't figure out what's going on. Then you have the absolute control and domination of the international financial markets through the Chinese. And when you talk to anybody from Africa to South America, to the Bahamas, China's all over, okay? China's got so much wealth. Now, again, you can't argue with this. Who's building the highest speed railroads? China. Who's building the deepest water ports? China. Who's building all of the infrastructure of some of these countries you can't even name? And we know now that even China has underground military bases linking their holdings of gold mines and diamond mines in South in Africa. Now, I was going to say South Africa. That's not the nation. So here's the thing. Unfortunately, Dave, we are in the United States living in an illusion of past greatness. There's a powerful statement. And unfortunately, I believe that Trump is not. Now, I don't know this for a fact, But judging from some of the things he says, I do not believe he is up on or kept in the loop of advanced weaponry. And I'm talking about stuff you and I talk about, whether it's space-based weapons platforms, whether it's Stargate technology, whether it's all of the, if you will, ultra-black, the core reality stuff. The thing that is problematic to me is this. When Fort Bragg, you saw the story, they shut the power off to just give people a taste of what it would be like if there was a computer hacking event that took down the power grid, and now they're apologizing because, quote, all the conspiracy theorists took and ran with it. There can only be two sources of the power outage. Cyber, I'm talking, and that obviously, or someone blowing up the power station, but it's either going to be cyber warfare or an EMP. So the thing is that everybody's getting ready for something, and to the best of my ability, I'm puzzled that having all the pieces, it's like you've got the last two pieces of a crossword, not a crossword, but a jigsaw puzzle, and you know there's only two pieces left, but why won't they fit? And, you know, one guy once told me, same spy told you, he says, Steve, remember, when you can't figure it out, it's designed to keep you off guard. And so they're intentionally keeping, quote, everyone off guard. Meanwhile, and the interceptions continue, the challenges continue, meaning between the United States and quote, Britain and sometimes Canada and all the Russian flights that are probing and testing us. The Chinese are probing and testing us. We've got two aircraft carriers headed to the mouth of the Persian Gulf. The Chinese, at the same time that story hit, in 6 hours, they talked about their plans how to take out our carrier battle groups, and they said this. They said they will use all of their assets, submarines, their surface launch missiles, and they will use their battleships, they will use missile cruisers, they'll use aerial assets. They will absolutely do it in a wave, okay? In other words, they won't commit one part of their armed forces or, you know, they'll do it all at once. So the thing I think that people's got to understand this is that, well, you don't want nuclear war, and who does? I've been speaking against it for, 35 years from the time I started my first newsletter. Yet now the thing is that we're seeing direct provocation. The smartest thing Trump could have done, and this isn't collusion, but China is going to be a problem for Russia, too, and Russia knows it. So the idea of the West being overrun, look at the persecution in China. And we better talk about the social credit score. And, Dave, we better go into the total surveillance society because, again, the guys I have talked to in the field of artificial intelligence, these are some of the brightest guys in the world. For instance, Professor Hugo de Garis, who spoke at Branson last year, will be speaking there again this year. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to get your tickets to Branson, I suggest you do it now. We're 60% filled out. It's the beginning of May next week, June, July, August, September, and we will sell out. You can go on Gen6, GENSIX.com, and you can get your ticket, or if you can't attend, make sure you sign up for the videotapes, because, Dave, you were there last year. One of the most expensive parts of putting on a show like Branson or a conference is we're not having three guys with 4K cameras. We've got one of the finest production companies in the United States. They travel worldwide producing this stuff. So the thing is that people of these videos go all over the world. So I'd like to thank those of you who are already signed up for Branson. For those of you who are pondering it, please don't ponder much louder or much longer, because then it gets louder. As people wait longer, then they get louder when it sells out. So please go to Gen6, GENSIX.com. And, I'm looking forward to having people there. But, Dave, again, when Professor de Garis, you heard him say this. He said, you either realize, I'm paraphrasing, you either realize AI is going to kill you or you kill it. Did he not say that?
Yeah, he did. And this is absolutely true. Absolutely. No question it's true.
So now we've got mandatory vaccines on the horizon. We've got three Ebola supposed carriers out there. And let me share something. When I wrote the book, Breathe No Evil, like 20 years ago, it got me in trouble. It was not a primer how to generate or create any of these pathogens or chemical weapons. It was in order to basically make people aware of what's going on. I remember when I talked about Ebola pox and mouse pox, and I quoted guys like Dr. Kenton Allebeck, the former head of Biopreparat, who defected to the West. And when he was talking about combining Ebola and smallpox, and now we've got the stories over the years, you've covered them, I've covered them, of missing vials of this and missing vials of that. And I'm going to tell you this, the missing vials, spelled V-I-A-L-S, are going to turn into very serious vial, V-I-L-E, pathogens released. And it's, the idea is maximum. Please, ladies and gentlemen, if you get anything out of tonight, that the first point, it's Russia, it's, when I say it's Russia, it's the fact that the globalist Illuminati, Luciferian worshiping elitists want war with Russia. You know why too? Most people don't deal with this because Russia under Putin is kind of taking the country back to Russian Orthodox Christianity.
Yes,
you can
absolutely.
Say what you want. That doesn't make me a Russophile. He's also a guy that told Americans, you remember this, don't surrender your guns. Meanwhile, you've got the Clintons and the entire, everything you've covered, Dave, and all your articles on the uranium scam and all of the treason and the treachery and the whole, if you will, selling favor through the U.S. State Department, and that goes untouched and unscathed. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this, that Russia is, they call it White Russia for a reason. Now, obviously, I understand Soviet Union had areas that weren't, but there is a move to absolutely destroy in every way, shape, and form any basis of an acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ or of the living God of heaven. And the Satanists are having a field day, and the Satanists are having a feast. And I pray that it's not at the expense of people listening to us tonight, Dave. By the grace of God, I pray that literally for everyone. But the thing is that now where we're at manufactured, and I believe that, bioengineered, I would say this, variant strains of pathogens that are going to be released, and it's going to be mandatory that you take the vaccines, or if you don't, you're not going to be fined $1,000 or confined 21 days to your house. You'll be taken to a FEMA camp, and everybody's going to be told, yeah, that guy down there, he's your neighbor, but he's, do you realize he could be the one that causes your whole family to die? You know what the scream will be? Lock them up. And Dave, you know, and I know that we've warned about that, and my statement is, you go into a FEMA camp and you don't come out.
Yeah, Steve, let me address that for a minute, because I have talked about this expressly on thecommonsenseshow.com, and this comes from my two sources I've been referencing, the unnamed agency source, high level, that you know, and the other source is DEA, and they both gave me this. First of all, what I know from the source that we have in common is that 20 Congolese were taken into custody and detained for suspected Ebola. And it's known to both of my sources, three of them tested positive. Now, here's the scary thing. And Mike Adams has already beat me to the punch on this when he wrote an article on his site. And he said, are they preparing to launch a fake Ebola pandemic in order to declare martial law? So let me go south of the border. You have the UN training the new Mexican National Guard that's replacing the Federales for, quote, humanitarian purposes. FEMA Camp Regulation 39.40 talks about eventually that foreign troops will run the FEMA camps. And then the last dot to connect here is an executive order that started with Bush and was expanded upon by Obama and called for HHS and the UN to basically have, and this is my term, federal FEMA medical quarantine camps. And first it was for TB and Ebola, things like this. And then they expanded to, if you got sniffles, they can put you away. But I went through the 17 members in the HHS document called EFS number 8, and there wasn't one medical group, no NIH, That's National Institute of Health. There was no CDC, Center for Disease Control. It was State Department, Department of Transportation, and so forth. These weren't medical camps. These were disguised FEMA camps. And I believe that the UN, with their Mexican National Guard, is going to staff them. And the Ebola people who were tested positive, three of them, they've disappeared. Our sources told me that, Steve. And then the DEA guy said, Dave, I had a tracking notice here about cartel activity in California involving the Sinaloas. And on an attachment, he said he's never seen this. The three positive tested Congolese for Ebola have disappeared. And he said somebody wanted to leak this. And I think we're looking at how they're going to gain control and how they're going to start putting us in FEMA camps.
Well, I agree with that, because there's nothing that brings terror in anyone's mind, even more than smallpox, is Ebola, because it's a hemorrhagic fever. Now, the last couple episodes of the outbreak of hemorrhagic fever, and Dave, I did write extensively on this, and it was during the time Larry Garrett's work and others' work on the final plague and all these things, but the point I tried to make then was that a biological pathogen would be manufactured in the lab. Concurrent with that, somebody was going to come up with a coordinated, if you will, antidote or a vaccine that if you take it, you won't get the generated pathogen. The Ebola that broke out in the last several episodes of it, you know, over the last couple of years, always in the Congo, it's absolutely out of the movie Dustin Hoffman outbreak, okay? And in the sense of the African nations have been used as petri dishes, and believe it or not, there are people that are in this world that make Dr. Mengele look like a sesame furry creature on Sesame Street, okay? And I don't watch it, I just see their stupid ads, in my opinion, stupid ads. But the point being is that we're seeing now, in full view of everyone, the agent that's going to be used, most likely Ebola or an offshoot. We're seeing the mandatory vaccination, which is going to give the powers that be, you just defined who they're going to be. They're going to be the United Nations. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, remember this. The United Nations Security Council is composed, the three biggest countries were the United States, Russia, and China. And we're now facing hostile Chinese and Russians. What happens when we're seeing the, if you will, the total implementation of the New World Order? And these people, Dave, are on record. You and I have done it. We don't have to quote anymore, but they want, you know, 5.5 billion people dead. And I don't even believe that there's a way to put that into context, except to take an average neighborhood, and most people live in a neighborhood. Neighborhood, obviously, you know, let's say anybody who does live in a neighborhood. I'm not talking about, you know, a rural property. I'm talking about a neighborhood where you've got a quarter acre, half acre, whatever you got, cul-de-sacs, roads, the house, you know, the cat, the dog, two-car garage, whatever. And the point is imagine this. Imagine you're the only one in your neighborhood that's alive. And then take that on a state scale, and then take it on a country scale. This is the scale in which they wish to operate. This is the battlefield. This is the statement I made, and I stand by it. Shot in the arm, shot in the head. I mean, shot in the arm is it doesn't mean they shoot you with the gun in the arm. It means they give you a mandatory vaccination. Shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you end up dead. You look at Japan, which has no mandatory vaccination laws, and they're some of the healthiest people in the world. Why is it that you look at America with, what is it, 57 different vaccines for kids now or something? And we're not. So, you know, cause and effect, we're so mind-controlled. And I told you this. I was told by insiders that have bona fide, how should I say this? They are who they claim they are to be, and they really are. I guess I can only say it that way. And they got more stars than most people know. And the thing is that they're going to promptly initiate this when it's their time, and it will spread like wildfire. I'd actually encourage everybody to go watch the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, because if you remember, one monkey caused a whole lot of panic in the opening scene of that movie. You have, you know, basically a fuel air explosive destroying a whole village that's broken out in Ebola. And even now in Ebola land, they just, what, they just shot the head epidemiologist. So somebody wants it to spread. And ladies and gentlemen, all it takes is one word that should put, I should say this, cause sober thinking on this, is that they want this to happen. This is not by surprise. This is not. Japan does not allow vaccinations, and guess what? They don't have any of the diseases.
Well, I got a couple of responses for you here. First of all, I published, I republished as part of a larger article, documentation that I had in 2009. It surfaced again during the Jade Helm drills, and it's the fact that the CDC owns the patent on Ebola. So if you have it, you get treated. Whatever it is, they get a royalty. That's a pretty powerful incentive to let that be your pandemic of choice, so they get to make money on our demise. But there's something else when you said they're going to roll out the vaccines all at once. You are so correct in this. About the time I was starting my network radio program and I had left local radio, I came on and I did a couple of exposés on the law enforcement roadblocks they were practicing in Colorado. I grew up with two kids, one elementary, junior high, one high school. And I knew these guys well, knew their families well, and they were in high positions in two different agencies. And they both participated in the following. They had drunk driving style roadblocks, but they weren't roadblocks to check for people's sobriety. They told people, have you had a vaccine? And this was all crisis actors they hired. And no, I haven't had the vaccine. Or they could scan you and tell if you had, with some kind of technology. And they had three different buses at the checkpoints. One was for the kids. One was for the women. One was for the men. And the crisis actors who were faking out and said, we've had it, but we haven't, they sent them away. Or if they didn't pass the scan test, they sent them away. And they had chase cars. This was law enforcement's responsibility in support of a DHS activity. And the chase cars would be just like they do in DUIs. If you try to avoid it and turn off on a side road, they chase you down. This happened in 2008 and 2009 with regard to the H1N1 scare. And, Steve, I'm telling you, I know two of the guys who were operational. One of them was a high-level administrator for a law enforcement agency, and I knew him well. He was a football and basketball teammate of mine in high school. So, Steve, they've already practiced for it. And when you say they're bringing this out all at once, you are 100% correct.
Well, you know, again, Dave, I don't have any words. I watched that happen in Bozeman, Montana a year ago, a couple years ago. I watched how fast it took to close down the interstate, on-ramps, off-ramps. The chase cars were in the median and on our, what would be our, let's see, I'm just trying to get which one, on our 19th and Main, people that know Bozeman, the 19th street exit. I mean, as far as you could see, the cars were backed up to the east and the west, okay? And they had checkpoints. They had probably about a dozen vehicles. Do you know how long it took to shut it down?
I've heard this story. Was it minutes?
Yep, minutes.
I know Minneapolis was shut down in a 30-minute period. John Moore told me about this.
Bozeman was 5 minutes. Now, it was a test. I don't even know if anybody, you know, they said, oh, it's just a traffic jam. I don't think they understood. My friend and I parked, who's a client. God bless you, Bill. And the thing is that we parked and watched it happen. It happened right, by the way, where he was staying in a local hotel that was, you know, overlooking the freeway. So it wasn't tough to watch it happen. But what was astonishing to me is how little manpower it took to basically shut it down that fast, Dave. And it was under 5 minutes. That's not an exaggeration. Like I said, I have a chronograph on my, you know, my watch, and I just press it, and gee, I don't have to guess.
Steve,
so,
it was actually part of
saying?
It was part of why Eisenhower gave us the interstate highways. One was to move troops around in times of war for attack quickly, but the other is to isolate rebellious centers in case of revolution. And see, that kind of strategy with interstate highways can seal off a city very quickly.
Right, and here's the thing. Again, you know, that's one nice thing about Bob and ready-made resources, you know. This is why most people really don't think tactically. And, you know, having a safe full of guns and having a house full of guns, you know, and all that. Again, our mutual friend Dave will tell you that, you know, that kind of mindset, you're just going to hold the fort, that doesn't work anymore. It worked with circling the wagons, okay? But you're talking about a whole different level of sophistication. And there, when you've got people that are trained to sit you out, and that's what Bob did on a show, I think. Did we do that show together on your show? I know you've had him do this, yeah, but all he's got to do is explain what, how people will absolutely lose it after about 24 hours, and they'll make stupid mistakes. Somebody rings the doorbell, you go out, you know, last thing you want to do is answer your doorbell at night, okay? Just it, you just don't want to do it. And the thing is that they're going to be lured out, and, you know, they can make noise, they'll play with your head, they'll mess with your mind. At the correct time, you at night, you make a mistake, you do something, you know, even they start a fire, you try to put it out, and bang, you're dead. Now, that's in the natural. I want to make it clear, okay? The supernatural is what God is going to release into his people's life to fight against the stuff. I don't know how God does what he does, but the bottom line is he's God and he will do it. And the reason we're presenting this dire state of affairs, Dave, is because it's dire. I don't want to see one mother separated from her husband or their children, because we all know now, see, what God's done has been so gracious. He's revealed the depth of depravity in the United States of America. We are the pedophile trafficking princes of the world under the guidance and direction of the Prince of Darkness. The sadness of the land. The land is groaning. We're becoming a hissing in the nostrils of the nations around us. And when they, and I've said this years ago, when they finally move on us, everybody is going to be glad, because we've become a canker where we used to be a blessing. And I love my country. I have walked the, you know, the whole, if you will, Utah Beach area, the area in where the Normandy invasion took place, the cemetery there, the famous cemeteries. I've seen, as some people, Arlington. You see what price people have paid, and understand this, that no greater mockery of our country could have taken place than under the former Obama administration, the way that, you know, the veterans were treated, and how many people perish. And you know what? My name became so flammable. This is funny, because a vet listened to me on his radio, you know, in one of the veterans hospitals. I won't say what state. They hauled him in to the psychiatrist because he was listening to me. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not funny. That's, you know, that's not funny. I mean, it's outlandish. So the idea of freedom of speech is gone. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can talk about helping the vets, but when you're I would say to Mr. Trump, your intentions are great, your implementation is not. Where lies the problem between, just like the wall? Well, one minute, you know, and I mean this, God bless him, but he's got to do what he says he's going to do, because just threatening to release Hillary's emails, look at how effective that's been. She's got the upper hand on him, and she's the one that's done what's more illegal than anything he was accused of. And so, you know, it's just like the, I'm telling you, people are waiting for the U.S. Cavalry to show up, and unfortunately, it's not going to be the U.S. Cavalry that shows up. And when they do show up, it's not going to be to save us. So the thing is that people take this stuff to heart. And, you know, Dave, when I started on talk radio, this is an important thing for me to say. I said, take everything to the Lord in prayer. don't just say, ah, oh, that's just Quayle. He's just crazy. He's trying to scare us to sell this, that, or the other thing, okay? No, take it to the Lord. And some of you who said that all these years, look back at what has happened. Look where we're at now, and look how wrong you are. Look how wrong you are. We've got famine facing the United States of America. The floods wiping out a million cattle in the Midwest. The floods destroying the grain. The late seasonal weather messing with the potato production in Idaho. Idaho is one of the largest potato growing states in the world. And I told Pastor Langford earlier today, guess what? Now we got to add a new word, and it's going to be French fry again. And that, seriously, you know, you think about French fries, you think about something that everybody, you know, usually eats, or whether they should or not, that's another story, but usually eats them, and yet that's based on potatoes. And I just got an alert here in northern Montana. Thank you, Pam. It says West Glacier region of Montana. We're going to get a bunch of snowstorms that are moving in now. So there goes the spring, and the cherry blossom trees are already out, and then, you know, they're flowering. So what's happening, Dave, is this. The word normal no longer exists. The warnings you get about the FEMA camps, the amount of, and you probably have asked yourself this too, how many eyewitnesses would it take to satisfy the skeptics? And the answer is, there's never enough, okay? So the only way the skeptics will be satisfied, the scorners and the mockers and the ridiculers and ridiculists, is when they absolutely have to bear the brunt of their denial. In other words, look at where Caracas, Venezuela was like 1 minute, and look at what it was like 1 month later. Or go to Sarajevo. I remember when the Winter Olympics were held in Sarajevo, and I remember some of the ABC sports guys, casters, talking, you know, about the beauty of Sarajevo, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, before the war. Who was responsible for that war? Bill Clinton. Remember that?
Absolutely. No question.
So Dave, here's the thing. Again, you know, we're at a point now where it's almost like, and again, I don't lose hope, but I do lose sleep, okay? The hope, and the acronym, I want people to use this acronym, because when I wrote my book, Jesus, the Premise of the Promise, I said the most powerful word in prayer is, help me, Lord, H-E-L-P. And that stands for his everlasting provision, his preeminence, his protection, his provision. And there's a list of 10 chapters there that are just about his, meaning Jesus, what he's done for us, what he does for us, and what he will do for us. And when we got to hope, I got to be honest with you, I said, Lord, I don't have a lot of hope. And I'm just being frank. You know, when you write a book and you try and pray about it, and God basically, you know, convicts you with the words that you're penning for others, he said, Steve, because I'm using his as the H in help, hope, his overcoming power every day. And I thought, wow, I could never have thought of that. And so hope, I want people to know this. There is hope, because Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. There is hope, because God said his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because he doesn't tell them what's going to happen, but because they choose to reject it. So the point that's critical for everyone to understand and to apply is, well, there is yet time. Give thought to the most important thing. And I tell everybody this. If you don't have food, you know, use the spare income you have to buy food, because everybody's mocking, you know, over storage food. Yeah, you know, da, 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 da. Well, they may be mocking, but they'll be squawking. And the other people who took the warnings to heart. By the way, it is a biblical principle that preparation is based on faith and not doubt, unbelief, or fear, i.e. Noah. Bob Griswold uses that all the time. Right. Where would we be if Noah just basically didn't take what God had showed him seriously? How about Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream, 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine? Or how about the New Testament prepper that blows everybody's mind? The woman who sent her little son out to hear Jesus on the Mount, giving the Sermon on the Mount, and basically the little boy had some fish and some loaves of bread, and Jesus looked around for someone and told his disciples, find me some food. Jesus knew the miracle was going to take place, but he used a woman's preparation in concern for her child to multiply and feed the entire multitude of 5,000, and there was bread and there was fish left over. Dave, that's the most amazing New Testament example of preparation that I've ever been given. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I get a lot of flack for this. Give me something in your word that shows it's just, quote, well, that just happened because it was in Egypt, blah, 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 blah. And he gave me that. And when he did, my heart melted. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, because that's an exact example. She didn't know, the mother of the little boy that went to hear Jesus, she didn't know how long he would be gone, but she knew he might need a little more or a little extra. We don't know. Dave, I'm telling you, I've talked to truckers, so do you. There's going to be a trucking strike, and it's not going to be because the truckers don't want to drive, but because of the events unfolding. I don't think people can grasp, and I'm not sure I can either, outside of seeing empty grocery shelves. And by the way, I notice those are appearing across the country more and more. But I don't think people understand the importance of truckers. When we were at Pastor Langford's conference in Hickory, North Carolina, I asked the truckers, you know, I think I asked them to stand or raise their hand or something, and I prayed over them. But I prayed over them as, if you will, all of the truckers from America, that God would give them a full tank of gas to get home, that he'd have them at the right place at the right time. And people absolutely do not know. Everything we use daily, we owe to those guys in one way or another. And God bless each and every trucker, husband, wife, driver teams, every one of you guys that are 18-wheel drivers, whatever the amount of wheels you drive, God bless you. Because again, Dave, we have to understand the volatility of the times we live in. And you know what's interesting? Historically, when you have a famine for God's word, the Bible's now being attacked. I said the day would come, said this 25 years ago, when owning a Bible would be a capital offense punishable by death. You mark my words, that day is very close at hand. We're seeing the alphabet people. That's the only thing I know how to call them, because there's 94 different variants. Then all I can say is they should be covered by the alphabet. The alphabet people and all of their preferences for this, that, and the other thing, all of these events will pale in comparison to, again, the hungry, the hungry cries of a child. And I hate it, brother. And I've been working my life off to, you know, on talk radio or in the survival business, and even before that as a newsletter writer, to warn people. It is an act of faith to prepare, because it said by faith Noah moved to build the ark. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And so this is the situation. Help is in the name of the Lord. Hope is his overcoming power every day. Romans 8, read the book of Romans chapter 8. It will encourage you. And I'd encourage everyone to memorize, you know, verses 31 through 39, because it's something you can draw on. And as I told the people at Hickory, I'm getting them confused, at Hickory under Pastor Langford's Be Not Deceived conference, I said, I want everyone to go to the 139th chapter of Psalms. And I want you all to read this. And this is what I want to read people. I want to leave them with this tonight. You know, I'm not saying I'm signing off or anything, but I really think that people need to hear this, okay? And may I read it? Because this is how God's thoughts to everybody who's worried, who's troubled, who's fearful, who's panicking, who's desperate, who's lonely, who's brokenhearted. And I can go on and on and on. And here's what Psalm 139 says. And this is the most confrontational against abortion psalm in the Old or New Testament. For you, Lord, have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, And in thy book, all members were written, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God knew every part of you, every thought of you, every good thing that you would be. How precious are also thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them, Psalm 139, 17, 18. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I'm awake, I am still with thee. By the way, Dave, I searched out how many grains of standard beach sand are in a good man-sized hand of grain. This may seem irrelevant, but it really isn't. 450,000, okay? That's a lot. And yet God's saying, you know, they're more in number than the sand. Here's what it means. His love for those who come to him through Jesus is more numerous than all the sand of the sea. You may not be able to come up with one thing you like about yourself, and I'm not talking about narcissists now. A lot of people battle self-image. A lot of people have been put down all their life. But let me share this. Jesus was put down. He was raised from the dead, and Jesus never puts you down. He always lifts you up if exactly. you call upon his name.
Amen.
And I just want everyone to memorize that. And Dave, you know, thank you for letting me bring this into it, because, you know, this is the most important thing. We don't know how many days we have left. But again, thank you for what you do. And thank those of you who talk to Dave. Thank those of you who risk your lives, and you really do. Thank those of you who fight the good fight behind the scenes. Thank those of you who are mighty men and women of valor. Thank those of you who have kept me alive. Thank those of you who are intercessors. Thank those of you who have prayed for Dave, prayed for me, prayed for those of us on talk radio. Thank those of you who are just absolutely doing the best you can with what you got. And I'm praying, Dave, that my standard prayer for every single person that listens to me on the radio is that God will absolutely grant them his favor. They'll be at the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time, and that they'll be hidden from all evil. And I believe that the Bible says, behold, I am the Lord thy God. Is there anything too hard for me? I said, Lord, here's one for you, and it's not too hard for you, but you need to make that real to your people. You need to make that real to your people.
Yeah, and he is making it real, because as you said earlier on in this broadcast, all things are being revealed. Steve, we got about 3 minutes left, but before we sign off, I wanted to ask you, and it's the request of our mutual contact. He said, ask Steve about red list, green list, blue list.
Red list, green list, blue list. Actually, it's red, blue, and green. Red list, blue list, green list was given to me by the head of a government agency. He worked for the Environmental Protection Agency when they were out getting allocations for incinerators for supposedly toxic waste. That was for people. He talked about the red list, the blue list, and the green list. The red list are people that are gun owners, Christians, constitutionalists, and those are their designations. Those people are destroyed within the first week of the operation. Obviously, they can get them. The blue list, then, were the police departments, the National Guards, and those who would cooperate in facilitating the takeout of the red list. After the red list has been accomplished to the numbers they determined to be acceptable, like, let's say, 70-80%, then they themselves would be terminated. Do you hear what I'm saying? The blue list gets killed. And then the green list are the people they feel are going to be subject to the brainwashed and brought into the New World Order. And by the way, that famous guy, David Spengler or something, said, one way or another, everybody is going to enter into the New World Order by consent or by decree. So the thing is that means you're going to die if you don't, and die if you will. So the red, blue, and green list. And for the record, Dave, the man who told me that was murdered.
Yeah, well, it's out there, and it's here, and it's coming, quickly. David Spengler also said something else. No one will come to the New World Order without pledging an allegiance to Satan.
Yep, to Lucifer. Thank you. That's actually the quote I was looking for, and thank God for that, because, again, that means, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's not Lucy in the sky of diamonds. It's Lucy in a tub of blood. You know, I believe Hawk, God bless him, was the first guy to give that designation. He was the guy that shortened Luciferians to Lucys, you know. And it's amazing how that term even showed up in some people in special operations land when they would talk about Hawk, because he said a lot of stuff, you know, and he's got, let's just say, he's got the cojones to say what he says. And yet the Lucys are on a warpath, Dave. And again, men and women of God and people that know what's at stake, don't make apologies for what you do, and tighten the circle of trust. Very important you said that tonight, Dave. Very important. I'm finding out that I'm literally having to do that, as heartbreaking as it is, with some of the people that I thought were my friends, finding out, and it's just the dumb way, the hard way, they weren't my friends. They were only in it for what they could get all this time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I find the same thing. Steve, we've got about a minute left, but I wanted you to give the audience an opportunity to know how to follow your work. I know you don't do a lot of appearances anymore, but you do some. So can you talk about that?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, I will try and post when I'm on the different talk radio programs in my alert section. That's probably the most visited part of Steve Quayle, steveqayle.com. And also, I'd encourage everyone that's thinking about going to Branson this September 11th through the 14th, go to GenSix.com and sign up, because we give a discount, and again, we're 60% sold out, and it really kicks into high gear in May and June, so we want to make sure everybody's got a chance to go there. They can pre-order their DVDs of all the speakers if they can't travel there, and we give a bonus and a discount for that too. Dave, God bless you, and thank you for tonight's show, because again, we are at the grace and mercy of God. We're in that hold your breath time, because everybody's holding their breath. They know something's coming, and they maybe don't know what exactly or when, and like you and I don't know what and when. We have some ideas, but when it comes, there will be no doubt. This is what everyone was waiting for, and now it's game on.
It really is. And Steve, what I'd like you to do also, and I know I speak for my audience, the people who are going to appear at this conference, I need to get them on my show. We need to promote their work ahead of time, build momentum towards this conference, which I'm happy to announce my wife and I will be attending. Can't wait to go. And I'll be there, and I'm looking forward to meeting everybody. But Steve, I certainly want to throw that out there as an open invitation for all your invitees who were just fantastic last year, and I know they're going to be fantastic this year. I want to get them on the show. We need to get them as much exposure as possible. Ladies and gentlemen,
I agree. And you know,
you've been listening to my friend Steve Quayle, and you can see why we're so lucky to have people like Steve. And you know, we have Doug, and we have so many good people that are doing the work, but we need you to join us. You can join us by praying for us, praying with us, and also become an advocate. There's lots of room in our pool. Steve, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. I look forward to having you back on again next time, and keep up the good fight. We need you.
Thank you, Dave. God's richest blessings on you and on the audience tonight.
Thank you, Steve. To everybody else, stay tuned. We'll be back with Kathy Rubio after a word from our sponsors.